So today we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter number 22, and we're reading today from text number 55. So today is supposed to be a special class. When they say special class, then you feel the pressure, you know, like I have to do something special. Every class is special. Every verse is special. Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Sarva Vibhushroi Prati Shloke Prati Akshare Nana Arthakai. Bhagavatam Shastra is Krishna. Krishna Tulya Bhagavata, there's no difference. And Prati Shloke, in every single verse, what to speak of every single verse? Prati Akshare, within every single syllable. Nana Arthakai, there's so much meaning. So much depth, so many layers of insight. And so today we're reading from a special verse, because it's a special class. But this really is a special verse. This is a especially special verse. And maybe before I say the verse, I'll tell you why it's especially special. Because in spiritual life you can have especially special. This is a very special verse. All of us in our life have been blessed with the association of incredible devotees. And for myself, and I'm sure for many of the devotees in the room, one of the most amazing devotees we had the opportunity to have the association of was His Grace Shruti Dharma Prabhu. So many of you know Shruti Dharma Prabhu, many of you may not. But Shruti Dharma Prabhu was, what can we say, a great soul, a sadhu. Someone who I say lived with the vision of eternity, and someone who served here at Bhaktivedanta Manor for over 4 decades. And what struck me about Shruti Dharma Prabhu was that he was so available. He made himself so available. He was always there at every function, at every person's need. He was just always present. One time I said to him, Shruti Prabhu, I think you are public property. He said, that is the life of a Vaishnav. We have become public property. So he was so available. He was there. He was the first person in this building, often in the morning, offering the Mangal Arati. And sometimes he was the last person out at night after a late evening patron council meeting. The first one in, the last one out. He was here day after day, and every single day he would turn up on top form. And I remember when I joined the temple, he said to me, when the alarm clock goes off in the morning, get up, dress up, and show up. This is the most important work in the world. And so he was like that, just like someone who was just there every day. He was just there. Available, present. And it wasn't easy, because when you take responsibility in this movement, then you may have noticed you become the target. It's like, if you don't want to be a target, don't take responsibility. Because as soon as you take a position, then everyone has an opinion. So there was so much negativity sometimes, so much criticism, so much obstacles, but he was never one to throw in the towel, to give up, to say like, no, no, I'm done, I'm just... Once I said to him, I said, Shruti Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada said, we'll have ISKCON in the spiritual world. He said, sounds great, I hope I'm not the temple president there. Every week I used to send him my service schedule. I used to send him, so like, at least he would know what I'm doing. And then one time he wrote back to me, he said, with a one-liner on the email after I'd sent my service schedule, he said, you forgot to add counseling the temple president every week. I said, who? I'm not counseling. He said, no, we all need someone to hear us out, because we have to share our heart, share our mind. So Shruti Prabhu was a great soul, was a sadhu, a saintly person. And on the 10th of March, 2020, he left the world. I remember that day, I was in quarantine. I was one of the first person to get quarantined from COVID. I didn't have it, but what to do? So it was kind of an agonizing thing because I was in the house right opposite him. That's where I was being quarantined. And then we heard that he was leaving the world, but I couldn't come out because I was in quarantine. So it was kind of like very, yeah, difficult time. Anyway, he left this world in a very glorious way. Shri Radha Gokulananda gave him darshan. And all the Maha items were there and all the Vaishnavas were present. It was such an auspicious departure, fitting. Anyway, that was 10th of March 2020. I'm coming to this verse, I'm framing it. 1 year later, on the anniversary, 10th of March 2021, then we were in full COVID lockdown. So I woke up that morning and I looked at my watch and I realized, oh, 10th of March, this is the anniversary of Shri Dharmaprabhu leaving. So the first thing I came for Mangalarti, I chanted Japa. And then what I did on that anniversary day is I went up to the BMF office. In COVID time, I had basically hijacked the BMF office. So the BMF, it's the best office in the building, if you're interested. It's got the best sunlight in the morning. Very energizing. So anyway, I was kind of living out of the BMF office, like connecting with the world through a camera and doing all these Zooms and so on. So I came into the BMF office after Japa time, and in the BMF office there's a beautiful picture of Shri Prabhu. Yeah, such a compassionate look. So I was looking and I was thinking about him and meditating and, you know, offering some prayers and gratitude of everything he had done. And then at 7:35, I came down from the office, and I came into the Bhagavatam class. And as I walked through the door into coming in the Bhagavatam class, then I saw this verse. This verse was the verse for the day, because at that time we were reading from the first canto of the Bhagavatam. This is actually from the first canto. And I remember that day because Doyal Baladev was giving class. And he was giving class on this verse. And as soon as I saw the verse, I remembered this verse. This verse is very, very special. And this verse is actually very, very fitting that it was the verse which appeared on Shri Dharmaprabhu's anniversary of his departure from this world. This verse is very, very special because there's only two verses in the Bhagavatam which are repeated verbatim. There are two verses in the Bhagavad Gita which are repeated verbatim. And there are two verses in the Bhagavatam which are repeated verbatim. So you can understand those four verses are incredibly important verses, and another day we'll do a seminar on that. But this is one of the two verses in the Bhagavatam that are repeated verbatim. And this verse appears in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, is spoken by the sages in glorification of Suta Goswami. And the second place this verse appears in the Bhagavatam is in the fourth canto, where the Prachetas are praying to the Supreme Lord who has appeared before them. And the third place where this appears is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks it to Sanatana Goswami. So three times it appears, twice in the Bhagavatam and once in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's an incredibly, incredibly important verse. And you'll see why it's so amazing that it happened by coincidence to be the verse for that day. So today we're reading from Madhya 22, The Process of Devotional Service, text number 25. And this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Sanatan Goswami. So you can repeat after me. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. The value of a moment's association with a devotee cannot be even compared to the attainment of heavenly planets
or liberation from matter, and what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which is for those who are meant for death. Purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.18.13. This verse concerns the Vedic rites and sacrifices by the great sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shonaka Rishi. The sages pointed out that association with a devotee for even less than a second is beyond comparison to 1,000 Vedic rituals and sacrifices, elevation to heavenly planets, or merging into the existence of the Supreme. Srila Prabhupada ki. The value of a moment's association with the devotee. Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya. Nasvargam. You can't compare it. You think it's an amazing thing to be able to go to Svarga, to go to the heavens? It's insignificant. Na punar bhavam. You think it's an amazing thing to gain release, to gain moksha, to gain liberation from the material world? Insignificant. These things which are so much searched after, which are so much sought after, which are so much desired by people of the world, it has no value when you compare it with the value of a moment's association with a devotee. Because the value of a moment's association with a devotee can change your life dramatically. Did you notice? Rewind, reflect, and go back in your life, and you'll notice a pattern in probably everyone in this room. There was a point when you got close to a devotee. There was a point when you let a devotee into your life, or maybe they forced themselves into your life. Sometimes it's like that also, a bit aggressive, you know, spiritually aggressive. And everything began changing. Your desires changed. Your goals changed. Your values changed. Your relationships changed. Your lifestyle changed. Everything changed. Once my mom, she came to me and she said, "Can't you just be normal?" I say, "It's too late." What to do, you know? It's all changed. All the parameters changed because a Vaishnava entered. And Vaishnavas are powerful. Sometimes I say the Vaishnavas are like agents of Vamandev. Because Vamandev came and he said, "Just 3 steps of land. I don't want much. Just 3. And then, boom, took over everything. So the devotees also come into our lives very inconspicuously and say, "You don't have to change, just a little bit, just add." So like that, so much adding, spiritual mathematics, so much adding that in the end there's nothing left, because they've added so much. So the devotees are very, very powerful, and in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Sararta Darshini, he gives an incredible insight on this. And the way he explains this verse is he compares it to the opposite of spiritual association. He says, what's the opposite of that? So, quoting the Bhagavatam, he mentions, Nanavagni Pramadanam Gritakam Basamapuman. Man is like butter. Grita Kumba and Nana Vagni, woman is like fire. Fire is good, butter is good, but when fire and butter come together, the heart melts. There's fireworks, there's some explosions. So, therefore Bhagavatam says the association between man and woman must be restricted, must be regulated, must be very carefully conducted, because so many things is very dangerous. But then the Bhagavatam in the third canto, Vishwanath goes on to explain, he says, there's one thing which is more dangerous than association with the opposite gender. There's one thing which is more dangerous than association with the opposite gender. You know what it is? Association with someone who's attached to the opposite gender. That's what Bhagavatam says. More dangerous than association with the opposite gender is association with someone who's attached to the opposite gender. Because their desires then become instilled within your own mind and heart. So Chakravarti Pad, what he then goes on to say, Shishiradha Gokulananda ki jai, that association with Krishna is very dangerous. Even Rupa Goswami says, if you're at all attached to family, friendship, love and society, don't look at Krishna, who's standing on the banks of the Yamuna playing his flute in the threefold bending form, because he's casting sidelong glances at his devotees. And if your eyes meet his eyes, then maybe, just maybe, you may forget about everything. Dangerous. Of course, he's saying, do it. But if more dangerous than association with the opposite gender is association with someone who's attached to the opposite gender, then what's more dangerous than association with Krishna? Association with someone who's attached to Krishna. Bhagavad Sanghi Sangasya Martyanam Kim Utashishaha. Therefore this verse, Chakravarti Pad is saying, is explaining that if you gain association, substantial association, even if for a moment, with someone who's a devotee of Krishna, it's extremely dangerous because they will instill within you a desire to want to give your heart and mind and everything to Krishna. So the devotees are powerful. The devotees, that, you know, I used to tell Shri Dharma Prabhu, you know, sometimes his name would appear on my phone. You see, like Shruti Dharma Prabhu calling. And it's flashing, calling. And in that moment, I'd have to make a decision. Because it was like, you want to associate with a sadhu. Of course, who doesn't want to speak with a saintly person? But every time I spoke to him, I knew there would be some element of surrender to Krishna involved. Some service, some task, something which required a somewhat of a sacrifice. So many times I cancelled the call. What to do? I admitted to him. I said, Prabhu, sometimes I wasn't ready. Because the Vaishnavas, they can't just, there's no way a Vaishnava can be in your life and not have an effect. If you let the devotees into your life, they will have an effect. Therefore, sometimes devotees, they have to take a step away from the devotees because it's too much. So, Vaishnavas are so powerful. All of you in this room are Vaishnavas. All of you have power. All of you have potency because you're connected to Krishna. You're connected to the Parampara. You're connected to Srila Prabhupada. Every Vaishnava in this room is empowered to do amazing things in this world. If you make yourself available to people, if you go out of your way and say, I'm going to step out of my own small world of I, me and mine, and I'm going to try and go out of that world and venture into the bigger world. A Vaishnava never thinks they're powerful. Who am I? I'm insignificant. I'm a fool. But still somehow or other I'm connected. And still somehow or other I'm holding within my hand something, Shastra, which can change people's lives. So therefore, a Vaishnava thinks, let me make myself available
so that people can have exposure. Because tulayama lavena pi na svargam na punarbhavam. If someone gets that opportunity to meet a devotee, it's so amazing. You know, it's such important work. Once we were on Sankirtan and, you know, like, it's difficult out there. And we went for a break. Not in Holland and Barrett, or, you know, Marks and Spencer, drying your hands under the, in the toilet underneath the hand dryer to get warm. We went back to the car because there were some snacks there. So anyway, we went into the car, had some snacks, you know, put the seat back, turned the engine on, whacked up the heat, you know, quick recharge. Anyway, we fell asleep in the car. You know, it happens. Devotees fall asleep everywhere. And then as we were sleeping, like, you know, like sometimes you sleep, you're only sleeping for like 5-10 minutes, but it feels like you just entered into another cosmic realm, you know? It's like very deep sleep. Anyway, so in the middle of it, you know, there's a knocking on the window, you know? You think like, wow, who is this, you know? It's like, you know, and then we look out and just some person. And then he's like extremely like animated. It's like, wind down, you know. It's like, who is this guy, the police or something? Like, wind down the window. So then we wind down the window and he doesn't say anything to us. He just says, what are you guys doing here? Get out there. You got important work to do. And I was like, who is this? Is this like the Sankirtan leader undercover or something? Like, and it was interesting because it was just someone we met on the street who received the book. And he just looked at us and he said, you guys got important work to do. Get out there. We were like, can you come and join us? We wanted to say that, but it was like, we took it as Krishna's message humbly and said like, ah, yeah, maybe we should get out there, you know? So it was interesting because, yes, the Vaishnavas have to be out there. If the Vaishnavas are not out there, where's the chance? For most people in this world, what is their chance of contacting the Hare Krishna movement? Actually, we are just like a speck in the myriad of complexity of this material world. Yesterday, we were like in Birmingham, and it's like, Birmingham is like, what to say? Burning hell. It's not that bad, but Aniruddha probably used to say that to me. But it was like there's all these things going on. In Birmingham, the city center is known as the bull ring. It's like a bull ring, you know, I mean, it's like it's completely packed, everyone selling everything, technology, all this stuff. And people are enmeshed in this complexity. How are they going to contact the Hare Krishna movement? How are they going to make their way to a temple? How are they going to find a devotee? It's like a needle in a haystack. How are you going to do it? But when the devotees go out and they have a really good sound system which outdoes all the other people on the street, and you chant, it's like all of a sudden, all of these thousands of people, all of these tens of thousands of people who may have no other opportunity to meet a devotee in their life, immediately, it's all changing. When I used to go out on Sankirtan, sometimes I used to just stand at the side and watch Sankirtan devotees. It's actually, it's good entertainment. And it's incredibly inspiring. Because you see just someone walking down the road, just going on about their life. And then this devotee just comes in, boom. You know, a quick few charming lines. You know, a quick laugh and a joke and an exchange and a handing over of the books and an offering of a donation. And within 1 minute, 2 minutes, it's all over, and the person walks off. And you think in that moment, that person's life just changed because they got the association of a devotee. So the devotees are so amazing The devotees are so wonderful. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would glorify the devotees, he had so much appreciation for his devotees. Kaviraj Goswami says, Bhaktera mahime prabhur kohite paya suk. Bhaktera mahime kohite hoya pa chamuk. That when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Bhaktera mahima, when he was talking about the glories of a devotee, suk, it gave him so much happiness. And when he was talking about the glories of a devotee, hoya pancha muk, it's as though he had five mouths. He had so many good things to say about his devotees, because he had so much gratitude towards his devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looks at Vakreshwara Pandit. Vakreshwara Pandit is an amazing devotee, so much enthusiasm. He said that when he began dancing, Vakreshwara Pandit, he didn't stop for 3 days. He was dancing for 72 hours in a row. That's how much enthusiasm he had in a kirtan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looks at Vakreshwara Pandit and he says, Vakreshwara, you are just like one wing. And if I had one more devotee like you, I'd be able to fly in the sky. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looks at Vasudev Datta, Vrindavan Das Thakur, says, Apanei Shri Gaura Chandra Bole Vare Var E Sharire Vasudeva Datera Amar. Gaura Chandra Bole Vare Var, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying again and again, E Sharire, my body, Vasudeva Dater Amar. My body has been purchased by Vasudev Datta because of his compassion. Vasudev Datta said, I want to accept all the sinful reactions of anyone in this world so that they may be delivered. Mahaprabhu heard his determination. Mahaprabhu says, Vasudev has purchased me by his compassion. He owns me. E sharire Vasudeva Datera Amar. This body, it belongs to Vasudev, and if he wants, Date Amar Yata Veche Tata Ivikai Satya Satya Ihate Anyacha Kichunai. Then Mahaprabhu says, he's purchased my body by his compassion, Ami Veche, and he can sell me. He can sell me Tata Ivikai in the marketplace if he likes, because he's purchased me. Satya satya bole anyata kichunai. Don't doubt this. This is how much appreciation I have for my devotee. Mahaprabhu looks at Rupa and Sanatan. Aji hoite dunhar naam Rupa Sanatan. Denya chadi tomar denya fate moraman. Mahaprabhu says, Rupa and Sanatan. Denya chadi, give up your humility. Tomar Dainya, because your humility, Fate Mora Man, is breaking my heart. It's so beautiful that I can't... You know, like the sun sometimes is so beautiful, it's so effulgent, it's so illuminating, it's so energizing, but it's so wonderful that you can't even look at it because it's too intense. Mahaprabhu said to Rupa and Sanatan, your humility is like that. It's so beautiful. It's so powerful. It's so incredibly deep. Fate Mora Man, that is breaking my heart. Give it up. Mahaprabhu looks at Ramananda Rai. Ami eka batul tumi dvitiya batul. Ata eva amai tomai hoya samatul. Mahaprabhu looks at Ramananda and he says, you're one madman and I'm another madman. Atta eva amai tomai hoya samatul. Between me and you, there is absolutely no difference. We're the same. You're the same as me. We're on the same wavelength. Sajatiya sangha. This is like-minded association. Hoya pacha muk. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was glorifying the devotees, it's as though he had five mouths. He had so many good things to say about his devotees because his devotees are powerful. Actually, when you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you learn what it means to glorify a devotee. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glorifications of his devotees are always very specific. You can understand if someone actually appreciates a devotee by when they glorify that devotee. Because if you listen very carefully, you can see how much they've actually deeply meditated on what is the good quality of that devotee and how much they're actually able to express that because of their reflection. Therefore, when we glorify someone, it should be specific. Mahaprabhu glorified Vakreshvara for his enthusiasm. He glorified Ramananda for his absorption. He glorified Vasudev Dutta for his compassion. He glorified Rupa and Sanatan for their humility. And he said, all of these different qualities that you have are empowering you to change people's lives. The devotees can change people's lives. So we have to be out there. We have to be out there with the people. And it's not easy. It's not like, it's not easy. Who wants to be out there in the cold? Who wants to be out there in a very uninviting atmosphere? Sometimes you're out there and you just think, this is not my personality. This is not my dharma, you know. I'm not in my dharma here. And you just think like, no, this is not me. Who is it? Whose dharma is it? Whose dharma is it to go into the city, to go into the middle of the material complexity? Whose dharma is it to stand in front of a German market and smell meat being cooked all day? Whose dharma is that? Who would do that? No one wants to do that. Once one devotee came from India, it was from a South Indian Brahmana family, like, you know, like Paka. And he came here and we took him out on Sankirtan for the first day. And he goes, Prabhu, Prabhu, I can't stand this smell of smoke. And he's saying, welcome to the world. This is it. You're in the urban jungle now. Who's going to go out there? But the devotees make time. They make themselves available. Once I tried to stop someone, I said like, yes, sir, can you stop? He goes, no, no time. I say, no, no, we're not selling anything. He goes, no time. I say, no, no, but have you ever tried meditation? No time. Okay, have a good day. No time. It's like, okay, that was quite revealing in itself, you know. No time to be happy. No time to be happy. No time to even think about where you're going in life. No time to even think about what the purpose is. No time to think about what will happen after you leave this world. No time. I don't have no time. So then what the devotees do is they make time. And then what they do is they go out on the street and they make other people give time. They say, you don't have time? You got to make time. Devotee means one who makes time to help other people make time so that they can find real happiness. That's Vaishnava. That's Vaishnava. So here we're hearing a moment with a devotee. If someone has a moment with you, if someone has a moment, you may think, who am I? I'm a no one. But you're carrying something so powerful. It's amazing. In the Quran, there's I don't know if it's in the Quran or some corollary Muslim literature, there's a nice verse. It says, if you make a prayer, you get halfway to God. If you fast, you reach the door of God. But if you give charity, God opens the door from the inside and lets you in. It's an interesting verse. Prayer takes you halfway to God. Practice takes you to the door of God. But sharing with others means God opens the door from the inside and lets you into the inner chamber. In the beginning of our spiritual life, prayer is the most, like everyone pray, all religious people pray. Okay, it brings you somewhere to God. But then when you become more serious, then you practice. You actually do some sadhana. That takes you to the door of God. But when it becomes more than just about my spiritual life, when it becomes more than just me, my Krishna consciousness, my rounds, my reading, and when it becomes about others, then the door opens from the inside. And then we see Krishna closer. Because Krishna says, Nachatasman manusheshu kashkin me priyakritama bhavita nachame tasmad anya priyataro bhuvi. Anya, there is no other, priya, dear to me, bhuvi in the whole world, than someone who makes themselves available for others. So we have to make ourselves available. This is our movement. This is the chance. You are all. We are all, by Srila Prabhupada's grace, the chance for the conditioned souls. And if we're not serious about sharing with others in a mood of compassion, what is the hope for the world? There is no other hope. Because Bhagavati Sanghi Sanghasya is only that moment's association that will make it possible. So devotees are amazing because they go out. They make time to be available for others. And devotees are amazing because then what they do is they deliver something to the souls which is of unparalleled value. And what do they give to the souls? They give Shastra. There are different types of faith. Okay? Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadambini, they categorize different types of faith. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there are many people in this world who don't have faith. And what does Krishna say for those who don't have faith? Agyascha shradadanascha shamshayatma vinashyati nayam lokosti na paro nasukham samsayatmanaha. Agyascha shradadanascha. If you don't have faith, nayam lokosti na paro, you will never be able to attain the supreme destination. Na sukham, you will not experience any happiness in your heart. Later on in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ashradadhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapya mam nivartante mrityusam sarasagarat. If you're ashradadhana, if you don't have faith, mrityu samsara sagarat, you will just continue to cycle in this samsara of birth and death. So Krishna says many people don't have faith. But as soon as a devotee enters into your life, you have faith, because they give you faith. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Ado Shraddha, in the beginning there must be faith to begin the spiritual journey. But later on in the Bhagavatam, when he's commenting on first canto verses, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur actually says there's two steps before faith. And the two steps before faith are the mercy of a devotee and the association of a devotee. So, when you come in contact with a devotee, you're able to develop some faith. But do you know there's different types of faith? There's something called Laukika Shraddha. There's something called Baladut Padita Shraddha. And there's something called Shastriya Shraddha. Every single week, thousands of people come to this temple, and all of them have some kind of faith. But it's not the same faith. For the vast majority of people that come to this temple or come in contact with spiritual life, their Shraddha is Laukika Shraddha. Laukika Shraddha means cultural faith, popular faith. This means faith which is simply based on tradition, faith which is simply based on culture, faith which is simply based on upbringing. I do this because my family has done this for generations. But they don't really know what they're doing. They don't really know the significance of it. They don't really know what the goal of it all is. In Laukika Shraddha, popular faith, The goal is still material happiness. So the acharyas, they say that kind of faith, it won't take you very far. Then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says there's another type of faith which is called baladut padita shraddha, which means forced faith. Some people have faith, but it's not their own faith. Because they've been preached to by a very charismatic person, they've become convinced. But it's not their own internalized faith, it's simply the charisma of someone else that is carrying them and pushing them on in their spiritual life. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this is a little better in one sense, because at least now they have a spiritual goal. But this baladut padita shraddha is a forced faith. It has to become deeper. Someone doesn't know Shastra. They've just been convinced by someone else. And therefore they're now pursuing this Krishna conscious path. So therefore, Jiva Goswami then goes on to say that the faith that we all want to have is Shastriya Shraddha. Spiritual faith. Faith which is based on understanding, deep wisdom. Faith which is based on philosophy. This is also known as Svabhaviki Shraddha, or natural faith. This is also known as Paramarthiki Shraddha, or faith in the for the higher purpose, for the supreme goal. So when devotees go out on book distribution, it's amazing, you can say, for two reasons. One reason is because they're making themselves available and they're giving devotees, people, conditioned souls, an opportunity to get in contact. But the second reason why it's amazing that devotees go out and do this activity is because the faith, or the opportunity of faith that you're giving to the people, is the highest type of faith, the purest type of faith, the most profound type of faith. Because when you meet them and when you come in contact with them, the very first thing you're giving them is Shastra. And if Shastra becomes their connection to this process, this movement, then they will develop a very high quality of faith. If they take up this path because they've been convinced by the philosophy, their degree of faith is much higher. And therefore they'll be able to go much further. And so a devotee is going out and giving the people the opportunity of developing Shastriya Shraddha, faith which is based on deep understanding, deep insight, deep wisdom, because they're giving Srila Prabhupada's books to these people. Now you may say, many people don't read it. What happens? There's no effect. No one understands it. But then we must also say that the number of people who have Shastriya Shraddha in this world is also naturally very less. Right? Many people have faith, isn't it? Like you meet India, yeah, not just Indians, so many people on the street. They say, yes, I believe. And they're not lying, they do believe. They do have Shraddha. But what kind of Shraddha you have? You believe. I agree with you. You believe. But what kind of belief, what kind of faith is simply, in most cases, Laukika Shraddha, cultural faith, tradition faith, popular faith, faith based on identity, not deep faith. And therefore they may say, I believe, I know. But how deep is that? Not enough that will actually bring them a spiritual experience. Therefore when the devotee goes out and someone says, I believe, you say like, yeah, it's good you believe. But now you need to take this and elevate your faith to another level, to a Shastriya Shraddha. And from that level, you'll be able to experience much more. So this is the job of the devotees. This is the best job in the world. This is, you're carrying something that changes people's lives. It's more powerful than we even know. It's inconceivable. Someone's walking down the road with like a beef burger in one hand, and like, you know, a mobile phone calling his girlfriend in the other hand. And after 2 minutes, he's walking down the road with a Bhagavatam. And it's like, the Bhagavatam?
Sarve vedanta saram hi Srimad Bhagavatam ishyate tadrasamrita triptasya nanyatra shyadrati kvachit. Sarve vedanta saram hi, the complete essence, the creme de la creme, the apex of all Vedanta philosophy, Srimad Bhagavatam ishyate, is contained within this one book, and this person's walking away with it. It's amazing. That's causeless mercy. That's causeless mercy. And why is it causeless mercy? Because a devotee made time. A devotee made time to say, I'm gonna step out of my world, and I'm gonna try and be public property for a little while. Let me try and be public property for a few hours every week. Let me try and be public property for a few hours on the weekend. And let me, fallen as I am, unqualified as I am, let me go out and try to connect someone. And maybe, just maybe, if that spark falls on dry wood, then you may just see something amazing happen before your eyes. You may just find someone who just takes the book, reads it, their life transforms, and in front of your eyes, you experience the most incredible transformation. It happens. It happens. That's the transcendental drama. But then we have to be part of that drama. We have to be there. We have to be on the street. And therefore, we're reflecting on these points. There's so much technical things that can be said about this verse. Today I won't go into the technicalities of it. It's actually very, very interesting. But suffice it to say, in this verse, the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita is reminding us that the best thing, the best gift you can give is the gift of your own association. And even if you think, who am I? I'm a no one. Who am I to give my association to others? No, no. You're powerful. You're powerful because you have credit with Krishna. And you're powerful because you're connected to Parampara. And because of those two qualifications, if you let more and more people come in contact with you, you'll change many hearts. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, on national television, Prabhupada said, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. Who is Prabhupada to beg us? Prabhupada said, I'm begging you. Go out, help me spread this Krishna consciousness movement. This spirit is the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this spirit is the heart of a spiritual life that's alive. And it's not easy. And when we hear this, we should not feel pressured. Like, oh my God, how am I going to do it? I can't. Just find your way. Everyone can do it. You just have to find your way. It may not be standing on a street. It may not be knocking a door. It may not, but find a way in which to make yourself available and help people to access something more. Because this is the basis of a beautiful life. So it's not a pressure. It's a great opportunity. And everyone can do it. You just have to find your way that fits your personality and then just watch all the magic happen. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Srila Prabhupada ki. So, yeah, if we have any questions or anyone would like to ask anything, then, yes.
Hare Krishna. Yes. Thank you for the lecture. I wonder, so Maharaj, you have so much knowledge on the Shastra, and how can we improve our knowledge of it? Do you have any recommendations?
I besides reading. There's a drop in the ocean, what I know.
There are many more learned devotees than me. And well, first thing is, Niti Shastra says, when you're chanting the holy name, you should think you're going to die tomorrow. But when you're reading Shastra, you should think you're going to live forever. Now, in that is a very, very important teaching. It means chanting japa is done with desperation. But reading Shastra is done with a long-term vision. You're not going to clock it in one day. You're not going to figure it all out. But you have to do everything, day by day. Become a sage, page by page. Right? So it's like Shastra is a lifetime. This is our life. You never stop being a learner of Shastra. So you have to study every day. This is the greatest gift. Prabhupada said, I'm not just giving you these books so you can distribute to others. You have to become convinced. Not just become convinced, you have to taste it. You have to taste the Shastra. Yeah, I went to one sadhu, I said, how do you read Bhagavatam? He said, I don't read Bhagavatam. I relish Bhagavatam. I don't read these books. I relish these books. So when you come with the Shastra, and you don't just know the Shastra, but you love the Shastra, you relish the Shastra, you're living in these words. You see, one level of reading is that we go into this book to get something, and then we come out into our world to then try and apply it. That's good. But you know another level of reading? You go into the Shastra to enter another world. You don't go to the Shastra to come back to this world. We don't want to come back to this world, to be honest. We want to live in these books. Imagine, one day, if you can do that, what a wealth. And then you know what? When you speak to someone about Shastra, you won't have to tell them, you know, and it said, we should read Shastra. Just by hearing your vibration, shabde pare cha nishnatam brahmanyupa shamashram, they'll become inspired. They'll say, I want to learn this. What is this? Yeah. Shabde pare cha nishnatam is a beautiful word. Shnan, you know what shnan means, right? A bath. So what is it said of the Bhagavat? Shabde pare cha nishnatam, they're bathing in the vibration of Shastra. Are you bathing in the vibration of Shastra? The great souls are. And therefore when you hear Jaha Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavira Stane, when you hear from their mouth, it's like an attack. You want it, it's hitting some place, yeah? Because they have some taste. So don't just try and learn the Shastra, definitely learn it. Live it. Relish it. Enter into it deeply. Because Krishna Tulya Bhagavata, this is Krishna. Prabhupada said you can see Krishna on every page. So anyway, yeah. This is Shastra is powerful. Yeah, it's your best friend. Therefore, Sanatan Goswami comes, and what does he say? Madeka bandho mat sangin mad guru man mahadhana man nishtaraka mad bhagya madananda namostute. Sanatan, he comes to the Bhagavatam, and what does he say? Madeka bandhu, the Bhagavatam is my only friend. Mat sangin, the Bhagavatam is my constant companion. Madguru, the Bhagavatam is my guru. Mannishtaraka, the Bhagavatam is lifting me up. Madbhagya, the Bhagavatam is my greatest fortune. Madananda, the Bhagavatam is the source of my greatest happiness. Namostute, the Bhagavatam is my life. Can you imagine? Someone who has that realization, the Bhagavatam is my best friend. The Bhagavatam is my constant companion. Everything in our life will change. But the Shastra stays with you, helping you, guiding you, walking with you. So yes, this is Srila Prabhupada's gift. Huh? Prabhupada, so much effort, Prabhupada, to give us these books. Huh? Such a Wonderful gift. Okay, sorry, I go on and on otherwise. Yes. Okay. 5 minutes. Okay. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. I was just wondering, what's the best possible way to give yourself to others without burning out yourself? Sometimes that happens.
Yeah. So we realize we are doctors and we're patients as well. A doctor, heal thyself. So we must take time for ourselves, be with the devotees, have good sadhana, take time to recharge your batteries, disconnect from the world also. Yes, make yourself available, but make yourself available in a way that's sustainable. Otherwise it can become like compassion fatigue. But actually when you get advanced, even when you're giving, you're not becoming depleted, actually becoming more and more inspired. At that point, you know, all your life becomes integrated. It's not like at this point in my life I'm giving and at this point in my life I'm receiving. The great souls, when they get to that level, they're giving, 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 and in that giving, they're receiving so much, and therefore their whole life is giving. And you observe that. It's Srila Prabhupada, you know, he's just giving all the time. You think like, how can he just keep giving? But he's not just giving, he's relishing when he's giving. And because he's relishing, when he's giving, he's receiving, isn't it? Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta said, the greatest Gosti Anandi is the Bhajan Anandi who preaches. So, yeah, it's a wonderful thing. It's amazing, the whole day. It was amazing on the marathon, I always felt that, because it's like you wake up in the morning, you chant. Then you hear a Bhagavatam class. And then you go out on the street and you talk about Krishna all day to people. And then you come back and you do a little bit of reading and then you go to sleep. And you think like the whole day, I was just in Krishna. It's very nice actually. Very difficult sometimes, the conditions, but very nice. So in the beginning, sometimes you need to do that. Not in the beginning. We need to take time for our sadhana and other things. So do that. But then eventually it will become seamless.
Thank you.
Okay. If there's any last question. Yeah, okay, last question.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for the nice class, Maharaj. You kind of touched on this question, but my question was, because you were emphasizing in your class the dangers of associating with materially attached people, but then also the potency of associating with devotees. So I was just wondering, sometimes when we associate love with devotees, we can take it for granted. So how can we really appreciate this association again? And then also, when we're out and associating with materially attached people, how can we kind of reduce that, taking on that association?
Yeah, people often ask this question. You see, what is the basis of your association? What is the basis of your association with a devotee? What is your basis of an association with materialistically minded people? If the constant meditation within your mind and heart when you're associating with others is like, how can we in this interaction come closer to Krishna? Then whether you're with a devotee or non-devotee, it's all going to be spiritually rewarding. Sometimes like devotees come and they're like, oh no, Prabhu, I got to associate with so many non-devotees. It's like, it's difficult. But you could also begin to think that, why are you thinking about how you're going to fail through association with non-devotees? Instead, you could think, if my constant meditation is how to come closer to Krishna and bring people closer to Krishna, then being with non-devotees is a great opportunity to do service. And that association can bring you closer to Krishna. So the basic thing is, you know, I think we have to change the narrative of our life. Sometimes we set ourselves up for failure because we're always thinking, what can go wrong? Like a devotee is always thinking, like, how can I not chant offensive rounds? How can I make sure I don't sleep? How can I make sure I'm not going to be inattentive? And it's like, it's all negative, because that's the narrative on your mind that you're thinking, how can I make sure I don't mess it up? But then we can start thinking like, oh, and how can I find Krishna today in japa? And how will I relish the holy name and absorb those transcendental syllables? That what will that feel like when I'm able to connect with the vibration on a deeper level? You can begin, and then you see what I mean? So let us not always think about what could go wrong. Let us start getting excited about what can go right. And that means you're with a devotee. They want to go to Krishna, you want to go to Krishna. How are you now going to have an interaction that's going to help you both go to Krishna? And it's the same when you're with a non-devotee. Just in your mind be thinking, how am I going to bring something into this interaction which is going to bring some eternal benefit to this person? And then it starts getting very exciting. Nowadays you meet people, you think like, okay, this is a great challenge. How am I now going to bring Krishna into this interaction? And devotees do it in all kinds of ingenious ways. They figure out how to give mercy in every situation. Like when I joined the temple, then we went to the gas station, the petrol station. And then they were like, they said, fill up 60 pounds. So I filled it up, you know, I'm quite good on the thing, you know. So it was 60 pounds. And the devotee goes, no, go on. I said, no, 60 pounds, done. He goes, no, go on. There's one more penny. So then I pressed it again and it went to like 60 pounds and 2 pence. And then I was like, but we only wanted 60 pounds and it was on 60. He goes, no. Because when you go in, they won't ask you for the extra 2 pennies. And that way, they donate to the Sankirtan movement. And I was like, that's interesting. Huh? Devotees are always thinking, like, how to give people mercy. It was an interesting approach. So you can do it. Now, I don't know if I should say that online, but can do it, you know? 2 pennies of petrol for the Sankirtan van. And mercy. So a devotee is thinking, how am I going to bring some mercy into the equation? Bring some mercy into the equation. That's the great opportunity. Some people see problems in opportunity.